And we are so sorry that you experienced that. But because I think all of us are believers, we believe that God will be with you. Hence, you are back with us. And it was unfortunate that we had to lose one member. But in short, we are very happy to have you back. I suppose everybody who's in this committee was very worried about the incident. Now that you are relating it to us, I think we should take it up as this committee to really pick up the issue of the cards that we are given as this parliament and the drivers. It needs our intervention, I say. Welcome everyone to the meeting. Do we have any apologies?
Good afternoon, Chair. We have two apologies, Chair. One apology is from Honourable Smaina. She is attending the chair's meeting, which is sitting currently. The second one is from Honourable Memele. She is attending the Pan African Parliament ordinary session, which is sitting in midnight.
Okay. Are those apologies accepted? Okay. I'm so sorry because before going further, I have to explain that we'll have to alter our meeting into a combined meeting because of the situation we find ourselves in. Most of the members that are here are also members of the portfolio committee. And I think we have ample time today because it's a Wednesday. We can accommodate their item onto this agenda. Is that fine?
Yes.
Yeah. While we are waiting for the other members, I don't know whether they are here or not yet, we can allow our senior researcher to give us a report of the international Women's Conference. I don't think it's a long report. Over to you, Joy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. As you will see, this is the report of the conference that we held in August. I'm not going to take you through all of this because you were there. What I'm going to take you through is the document that Brian handed out, which is a summary, and also a proposal around how we structure an implementation plan for taking up some of the conference resolutions. So just on page one of this document, I'm going to very briefly mention some of the key recurring themes that came up during the course of the conference. The first was obviously around women and economic empowerment, because this was the theme of the conference. And within the context of the fact that Statistics South Africa released the Poverty Trends report, where Statistics South Africa showed us that more than half of South Africans are living in poverty, and the face of this is female. The conference talked about the need to look at oversight, vigorous oversight, where we look at particularly marginalized women, looking at the unpaid care work, particularly in relation to violence against women, where those who provide care work are paid at very low salaries, those in other marginalized sectors of the economy, domestic workers, farm workers, sex workers. And so the need for vigorous oversight emerged as a key resolution here. Then the conference also looked at violence against women, and particularly how violence impacted on women's ability to be at work, to be productive, and to be economically active. And, you know, we had a number of comments at the conference around how this was a serious issue where many women take off a number of work days because they're not well, because it affects health and well-being and mental health issues. Then sexual harassment, both in the place of work but also specifically at parliaments, provincial legislatures, emerged as a key issue. And we were asked as parliament and as the provincial legislatures to look into how we provide an enabling environment within parliament for women who are sexually harassed to come forward with their stories and for sexual harassment to be adequately addressed. I've touched on the issue around women in marginalized sectors of employment, so moving on to income inequality. Participants at the conference talked about we're 20 odd years into democracy and we still see significant income inequality between men and women, and that there's a need to reduce this gap. The need to create gender-sensitive places of work. The conference called on Parliament to look at how do we become a lot more creative in how we create gender-sensitive places of work. So, for example, notions of things like job sharing, being sensitive to women's roles around their family responsibilities and how the workplace takes these things into account. Care work, I talked about very briefly about how social care work is paid less than work that is traditionally perceived to be more masculine in nature. And then the development of action plans. And here, you know, there was talk about developing action plans at the country level to look at how we address all of these issues. All of the conference discussions on women and economic empowerment took place in relation to how we give effect to the SDGs and how we promote the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. So a reminder to us as Parliament to bear that in mind as we look at how to take the resolutions forward. Technology as a tool to empower women emerge as a key theme, that this is an area in which there are many new jobs, and if women are not technologically literate, then they're not able to compete in the job environment. So particularly in rural and poor areas, there's a need to ensure that the government is putting in place access to the internet and making women and girls digitally literate. The development of gender-sensitive policies at national, provincial, and local level emerges a key theme. The role of parliaments in ensuring that there's oversight on women's economic empowerment. The importance of the Women's Caucus was a recurring theme, that the Women's Caucus is a very strategic structure for monitoring that Parliament's doing all of its work in this regard, and for ensuring that committees in Parliament take up gender in their oversight. And then finally, you know, there was discussion on the issue of gender-responsive budgeting, that South Africa was a model of best practice in doing this, but it seems to have fallen apart and that there's a need to resurrect this work. So from page 4 and page 5, that was a summary of the resolutions. I'm not going to go through those. I'm going to talk to seven areas of action that come out of those resolutions. So from the bottom of page 5, which says the proposed implementation plan, when we look at the issues, the recurring issues and the resolutions that came out of the conference, I was able to pull out 7 key areas that we could structure work in taking the resolutions forward. So the first area would be, and maybe just to say that this is work for both the caucus, but the caucus cannot do all of this on its own, so we'd need to be able to work collaboratively with other committees and to refer some of this to other committees. So the first area was around women and economic empowerment, which was the overarching theme of the conference. And the key issues that came out there were 3 things: women in the informal economy, the undervaluing of care work, and women in marginalized sectors of the economy. And specifically, the status of black women as being a specific area of focus emerged in all of this. So the suggestion here is that for these areas, we need an oversight plan. And it's not enough to just say we will do oversight on this, but we need a plan in terms of how we will look on it at this issue over the course of the next 2 years. And the suggestion is that in collaboration with the PC on Trade and Industry, the PC on Economic Development, the PC on Small Business, that This plan is developed to look at how we engage in more vigorous oversight. The second area of work is around income inequality. So this was a very significant theme that came out of the conference, and I didn't want to make specific recommendations on this because the work of the high-level panel on the assessment of independent the high-level panel on the independent assessment of legislation has looked at this as one of its key areas. So what my suggestion here is that high-level panel is going to be producing its report soon. It will deal with income inequality. The suggestion is that we take that report and those recommendations and we look at the gendered implications of that. And maybe once we've done that is to sit down with the Employment Equity Commission and look at how we then engage on taking up some of the recommendations of the high-level panel. The third area of work that would emerge as a recurring theme was changing the world of work so that it is more gender sensitive. And here people were talking about legislation to change how work environments are sensitive to women's gender roles, and particularly in relation to their family responsibilities. You know, I'm not sure, the City of Cape Town, I'm not sure how many people are aware of this, recently called on employers to look at creating alternative ways of working, just because there's so many people coming into the city and the traffic is so congested, and to look at ways of possibly working from home. So what the suggestion here is that it might be useful to organize a summit to look at this issue, hear from people in civil society, and specifically ask for their ideas on how the Labor Relations Act, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, and the Employment Equity Act can take this matter up further. And this is possibly a joint area of work with the PC on labor. Then the fourth area of work was violence against women. Insofar as it negatively affects women's ability to be economically active and productive. And concern was raised here that the legislation is not being implemented as it should be. So there's a need for more vigorous oversight in this regard. And the suggestion is to refer this to the PC on Justice to look at how to engage in more vigorous oversight. But then one aspect of this work that the caucus, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, could possibly take up is in relation to gender-based violence and gender-responsive budgeting. And that links to the next point. So I'll talk to it under there. So as I said earlier, we were an international best practice model for the Women's Budget Initiative where, you know, our first chairperson of the JNC on women used to travel overseas to talk about how we engage in the Women's Budget Initiative. And over the course of the past few years, it's fallen apart. The Department of Women has reported that they are looking at attempts to resurrect this, but it's not clear what progress has been made. But Parliament has a role to play in ensuring that we engage in gender-responsive budgeting, to ensure that the committees in Parliament are looking at the budget from a gender perspective, but also to engage with Treasury to ask the question around why it is not possible to make government votes disaggregate their budgets by gender, so we see the implications of spending on women's lives. So the proposal here was for the caucus to meet with Treasury and engage with it on how to initiate a pilot on gender-responsive budgeting in relation to violence against women. In the fourth parliament, we did some work on this, and unfortunately, it's not gone very far, so it would be make sense to take this issue forward. There was a Treasury resolution back in, I think, 1999 that we would do gender-responsive budgeting, but it's not happened. Then there was a resolution around strengthening the national gender machinery, and I don't know if members here will recall that back in the day, I think in the early 2003 or 2005, the former JMC on women did a project where it assessed what the gender machinery was doing. And it did this by sending out a questionnaire to ask, what are your programs, what's your budget, what are your challenges? And that was quite groundbreaking work because it pulled together an overall collation of what the status of the gender machinery was. So the suggestion here is that if we're going to fix the gender machinery, we need to understand what some of the issues are. And that's a fairly simple exercise. The caucus could repeat that exercise by sending out that questionnaire and pulling together some of that information so we understand what some of the challenges are. And then lastly was the suggestion around, and the resolution around addressing sexual harassment in Parliament. The suggestion here is to start a process of looking at sexual harassment in Parliament. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do because mostly people don't report it. It's something that goes unreported. But maybe one starting point is to engage with the Deputy Secretary on how many cases have been reported, what has happened to those cases, and then possibly organising a roundtable or a seminar in Parliament to create awareness on sexual harassment. Honourable members, I'm going to stop there just to say that those are the suggestions around the key resolutions and themes that emerged from the Women's Conference, and for this forum to inform and shape that plan of action. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. You know, we had arranged for this meeting, not knowing that we'll be having a debate today. And the debate that we are having today will be in line with what I think the researcher has reported to us. And one other thing is that most of the members here were present in that international conference, even a day before, because we also had provinces that came to attend the conference before, a day before the international one. And I think most of the things that have been mentioned here are things that we are going to be engaged in when we speaking in our debate today. And I don't see any necessity really here at the moment that we can dwell a lot on this, because we have combined the two committees. And I also think that it is important to give time to the portfolio committee, because they are dealing with a very important thing, the report that they are going to be dealing with. Now, I'm going to allow for questions of clarity, and then we can have, after we've debated, maybe coming meetings to deal with the issues extensively, because we have already have a plan, action plan that has been read out to us. I think the debate that we are going to be having in Parliament is to inform the public and also the people who don't know what happened in August, that we had an event. And that event is an event that came up with all what she's telling us. I think we will agree with the members. Maybe we have the questions of clarity and then give a portfolio committee a chance to deal with their report. Is that fine?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with you fully. For the sake of to register the agreement, for it to be minuted. But I think, Joy, if you remember, we had a pre-conference before that conference. And I think there are lots of things that provinces wanted us to do together. And if we treat that conference as a two-day conference only, I don't think it would be enough, because we spent the whole day dealing with their issues. So it's important that we integrate them as part of our program of action. It's okay for you not to have that in here, but when we deal with our program of action, it's important that we put all those plans that we verbally reported on in that conference together and find a way of us reviving what we used to have before chairperson of all multi-party caucuses coming together, maybe once a year or so. But those who are going to debate today as well, chairperson, for them to emphasize the fact that we really fought hard as multi-party women's caucus. I think it's an achievement to us that that conference happened in August, and it's because we really pushed for that last year. So it's an achievement, and I think we need to talk about that as part of our achievements, chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tess. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to be back into this committee. Mine is a small comment. I just paced through, Chairperson, this women's conference book. I don't know whether it's Parliament who has done the compilation. I'm just worried that the portfolio committee, maybe caucus steering committee, we've got youth here. I've got these two beautiful ladies here, and I'm sure there must have been. I don't see a single picture of maybe a young person. All the people that are here, not that I've got any problem with the, all the people, but at least for succession plan, I think we need to introduce youth. Next time, whoever is doing the compilation, if we can have a picture maybe of the steering committee, because we've got young people in the committee. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you for being here. I'm not going to respond to that because I look very ugly in that. Maybe that is the reason why you want young people. So I think the point is taken.
Yeah.
Because we're also saying, I don't know why they did this. Maybe they can explain. That is the reason why I'm saying these are some of the things we'll be dealing with later.
Look like we're good future.
I was angry, actually. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I think that point is taken. Mm.
That's what they do to us, yeah.
But I'm surprised that the whip says that we were planning the conference. We didn't. You remember we... No, no. You remember that we were ambushed. We were ambushed, but the way you put it is as if we planned for it. We didn't plan for it. The things that we planned for have not been achieved. Remember? Yeah, so we didn't plan for it. We were just ambushed, but we went along. We played along, the usual. The women character played along, you see. So, and it is consuming the patriarchal way in this institution. So what we need also to do is not to forget what we want to do. The achievement of the sanitary veg free, which we want to achieve in this term, and the distribution of sanitary pads to the indigent. I think those are our goals this year that we can achieve. Thank you.
You see, I had this premonition when I said, I think we mustn't dwell on that, because I knew a lot of things would be coming up. The way that the event was organized, raised questions amongst us, we still have to discuss it extensively.
Yes,
so that is the reason why I said, no, let us be with it and shelve it for our next meeting. So that we deal with this and we raise our concerns of all the things that transpired, that the 2 days, and why. I think the researcher is reporting on the International Women's
Conference,
because she was part of that, and the concern that we raised
you know, was addressed after that, of having in another manner, of course, because we wanted to be included to the international conference as the women in parliament. Because initially they were saying they are going to allow 8 people to That is when we raised this, and I think as Kate is saying, it's a patriarchal way of dealing with things. Unfortunately, this patriarchy is also executed by our own can we pass
I just wanted to let you know that the research for our workshop is separate. Yes. Our members are being served by the
The
pressure is for us to adopt this because the other partners are asking for it.
I don't know whether we'll be doing justice to adopt it here when we haven't extrapolated everything. That is the reason why I don't know how long are they expecting you to take it to them, because we are not going to adopt it here in this manner. We have to deal with this extensively. Yes. So we'll talk maybe when are we going to have another discussion on this. Yeah, and then while you are busy collating the other report of the other day. And that was a very good conference meeting that we had with provinces. I think it's going to come up with a lot of things.
You are right. I think the other thing is that if you adopt this as steering committee, won't be correct, because it was for all women in parliament, even though they were not invited at the initial stage. So it's important for us to have a multi-party caucus that we have already programmed for once a month, have that, and let us have a buy-in of all members. I would suggest that Brian make as many copies as possible and put it in the pigeonholes of all the female members of parliament here, and that's why they can go through it, and we'll plan a meeting, and then when we plan a meeting, it will be an adoption of parliament's South African parliament on the proceedings of that conference. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Brian. Is this the area of work to distribute this?
Yeah.
Have you got enough? Okay, all right. So we'll do that.
It won't be this format, because this format is
okay. Maybe it will be in this, this format. Okay. Okay, that's
fine. Chair, there were only plans once you adopt. The ones that you adopted, then we can control our back.
Yeah, that's what I think also, because also communication has got its own policies. Yes. Okay then. Okay, I think we will deal with this. People, we only have 1 hour now. Who's the acting chair? Phumzile. So we are going to head over to you, Phumzile. Here we've got the consideration of the draft program for registering. That is, we can always do that. Over to you, Gail.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members.
Mwah is back from where he went. We've got another Mwah.
Honourable members, in front of us we are having a report, the IRRR report for the Portfolio Committee on Women. Thank you for the quorum. I have been able to look at the document. It's what we have been able to submit to some of the recommendations and observation on the reports, but I would like this report be adopted. If there is any input or any amendment that you feel is needed in the observation and recommendations of the report. I'm going to give to Kashiva to give us the outline, then thereafter we are going to adopt the report. Thank you. Over to you, Kashiva.
Afternoon, members. Just for our minutes and records, so the apology we received is for Ms. Pamela, who is ACPAC. We have informed Ms. Kaula as well as Ms. van der Merwe, but we haven't up till now received any apologies from him for this meeting for the adoption. So just to go through some of the changes which you'd like, which we amended yesterday. So starting on the first page, we will change the date. The date of adoption would be 18 of October, to be today. So that would be the first thing, and it would be not draft budget review, it would be budget review, the recommendation report. All of that was fine up until our observations. In terms of page 25 of our observations, just to note the...
Can I ask a question? I think I want to know, Chair, where is your food? Did they bring it up here? Because I think people won't have enough. Yeah, if they could do that, so that I can't talk about
which
one?
Which one?
Charlene, they made arrangements with Mark Gordon for me to bring it over to the CFI.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. So just picking up on page 24 and 25, G under observation for general for related to the department. So we acknowledge the late responses we received in the report, which came Monday afternoon, a day before we were supposed to adopt. But technically it was 7 months late in relation to when they're supposed to have sent it to us. And this, we've also indicated on page 25 that throughout the year under the review, we constantly indicate to the department, the moment you have an event or a campaign, please submit your report so that the committee is able to go through that and see what the outcomes and findings are. In terms of H, on page 25, the concern that Ms. Tanya raised, the committee noted that even though the department's mandate is to promote gender equality and the economic empowerment of women, it failed to ensure BBB compliance in terms of women service providers, as noted by the AG. And that was one of the AG's findings. And that lastly, on I, the committee noted the concern, the AG finding which led to the lack of accountability by the accounting officer. Nothing that was specifically in relation to where things were signed off by officials other than the accounting officer. As we move over to page 26, all of that was intact, as well as page 27. Including page 28. On 29, we had the request from a state who was specifically to raise around the supply chain management. So the committee noted concern the number of invoices paid outside the 30-day period and was unsure about this amount, what this amounted to and for what this was for. So in other words, we knew there were some invoices that were paid outside of the 30-day, but we actually don't know what the total cost of those invoices, because that wasn't disclosed. The rest of HR and administration was fine. Under page 30, around D, again, we noted around the vitamins, the committee was concerned about the large number of vitamins between programs, as this indicated poor planning, In addition, the committee noted with concern the violation of 1.6 million without National Treasury approval, and that was stipulated in our annual report. 7.5, that all remains the same. Under D, page 31, international travel, there we stipulate that the Department of Women's International Travel increased from 11.4, which they budgeted for, to 17.1 million. And again, we did not receive any details as to the nature of the costs. And in our next meeting, Q2, we're actually going to ask him for that detail. With the national dialogues, again, here we acknowledge that the department did send us a report, but that report came Monday morning, the day before we adopted. We were supposed to look at this report. In terms of country reports, they didn't meet the target. So the target was to look at 3 country reports for the year under review. They only looked at what they report on is South Africa's 5th periodic report on CEDAW and the SADC Ministers Responsible for Gender, Women's Affairs report. Now, the CEDAW report, they sent that to us, but we never received the SADC report. So that, again, is one of the many outstanding matters. In terms of G&H, we note that the committee, in its highlights of achievements, reference made to business cases, draft reports, and the like. While the committee commends the department for work undertaken, it has not received any of these reports, nor was it briefed on. So, yes, subsequently, we received it, but not during the year under review. And that H, around the policy and law reform, the committee was concerned that the department has not yet briefed the committee on work related to policy and law reform it had undertaken. And just to link some of the issues related to the international conference, particularly around the economic empowerment of women. So the Department of Women indicated they're looking at the 9-point plan and doing that from a gendered perspective. But we have yet to see the actual reports of who they've assessed and what they found. CG is fine. I picked up on 7.65A on page 33. They did actually deal with the rollover of cases. So that I will take out. We've checked that. It was something that they did mention to us. So we'll only have B and C around the case management, around dealing with complaints and moving from a manual to electronic system. Recommendations. Everything around 8.1 was the same. 8.2 remained the same as well. 8.3 remained the same, internal control and risk management. And the 8.4, that too remained the same. What we did include was under F, which the members requested, was around the consultants. And besides us finding out these M&E consultants that the department is bringing in, are they having any skills transfer within the department? On page 37, we made a specific recommendation based on the issue related to supply chain management. The committee recommends that the department provide a monthly report on the supply chain management deviations and transgressions and what actions were taken against officials who fail to comply with SCM policies. Under collaboration, B, the specific request was to include municipalities and premier's offices, so the committee recommends that specific emphasis should be placed on developing relationships with GFPs, within government departments, premier offices, and municipalities. 6.3 on 38, that remained fine, monitoring evaluation, as well as events and campaigns. For interest for the multi-party women's caucus around the gender responsive budgeting. We have actually requested the department year in and year out to please brief the committee on what they've done. They submitted to us an 8-page document, which they call a business case, on gender responsive budgeting. So in our Q2, which is going to be 14 November, when they come talk to us about the 17-18 Q2 report, we will actually request them to brief us on the gender responsive budgeting. So we will ask via Neliswa to inform the multi-party rules caucus of that. Around gender focal points, again, it's an issue which had come up in the caucus on 8.66, just to indicate the department has told us they're working with DPSA around gender focal points and the level that they pitch and looking at policy around that. So here again, we're just asking them how far they come and should update us on the process in terms of a report. And that they should actually indicate to the committee on a regular basis its work and relationship with gender focal points within departments and local government at every quarter, so that we can have an assessment, not just at the end of a financial year, but during the year, who are they working with and are they working with GFPs. And the 6.7c, that the committee recommends that department must present all reports at an international level to the committee before it takes the international trip. And again, the concern from the committee was that we wouldn't want an international audience to have a look at what the country presents when within South Africa, within Parliament, within the Portfolio Committee of Women, we don't have a PSS. 8.8 is what we also included on page 39. The committee requests that the department briefs it on all outstanding responses to questions posed in relation to the annual report for 16-17, as well as reports submitted. The committee on page 40 recommends that the department submit all reports within 30 days of completion for consideration. And C, the committee recommends that the department submit all documentation for meeting at least 7 working days in advance. Failure to do so, the committee should be informed in writing as to the reasons. And I think here it was just the fact that we received documentation so late. In terms of 8.9, the CGE finance, governance and programs, that all remain the same, as well as 8.10, our recommendation to Treasury. Just a conclusion from my side, members, the just 3 additional things that relates to issues of adoption. Mr. Coinzo has sent us some questions to the department, but that came after we had sent the letter. Mm-hmm. When we have our Q2 briefing, we will include a briefing note which includes Mr. Coinzo's questions. So we'll ask them to respond to those questions as well and to brief us. The second thing is we just need members' input as to would you like the head of internal audit to be at that meeting. Mm-hmm. The AG gave us a commitment that they will come to our quarterly briefings. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's important. Previously, you couldn't make it because of time, but if we inform them now, you can clear his diary. So, the suggestion was that that first hour we deal with all those urgent matters. So, it can be the AG, head of internal audit, and the department with a list of those key things before we go into Q2. And then, we will provide members as you requested that list of issues that you want. Between Crystal and myself, we'll document what those things are for tracking. And then just the last thing, besides BRR, next week we're supposed to have a meeting with the CGE. We just need to hear from members. It's around the 20-year review as well as that AU report. In the context around the review of Chapter 9. Again, we just need some input there. Do we send letters to the CGE requesting them to come do that? It will be on the agenda, 20-year review, the AU report, and the discussion around the review of Chapter 9. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much, Kashima. Honorable members, this is the report. Anyone who want to adopt the report?
Can I just ask a question?
Okay.
It's a minor point, but I'm just wondering if we relate to
8.8c, where you said that they should provide the information 7 working days in advance. Failure to do so, we should be informed in writing as to the reasons. I think that gives them an easy opt-out. Why make it easy for them? They have been serial offenders. So I don't think we should make it easy. Just take that out. We're giving them an excuse.
So what are you suggesting?
We just don't say that. They must let us have them in 7 days in advance and finish the club.
Failure to do that?
Well, you can leave it in if you like, but I just think it makes it easier, whereas if they know they don't have an opt-out, they don't have to make an excuse. They must just work harder to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Okay, and that will chair, if you want to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about 8.6.7C. I think we have been saying this since 2014, you must say that. Mm. Let it reflect that we have been complaining about international reports and not coming to the committee since 2014. Mm.
Okay. And I remember, you must remind that we have vice chair at another meeting, so the time is
going
out.
No, PSC is
okay. The meeting is out, the first of.
Yeah, PSC is because we don't, we only have one vice chair.
One.
Yes.
All
right. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I think this is what
we tabled yesterday. We've made some comments and inputs, so I move for the adoption of this report as a true reflection of what transpired yesterday. Thank you. Honourable
Robinson.
Okay. Thank you very much, honourable members, for adoption of the report. I would like also to thank Kashiba and Christelle for all what they have done, for their efforts to do this report for us, and I would also want to thank the honourable members for their contributions to the report.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.